Amen. Thank you, Brother Michael. If you'd stand tonight, open up to John's Gospel, chapter number 19. I'd like to start reading in verse number 16 of John's Gospel, chapter number 19. Start reading in verse number 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away. He bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what have I written? I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled that saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now therefore stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he the disciple, or to John, behold thy mother. From that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. I wonder, would Jesus be pleased if you took his mama home with you? What an honor. We think of little things, but my goodness, what an honor to take care of Mary as her son is departing. He chose John, a man that would lean upon his heart. And I found out God entrusts those the most that lean the closest to his heart. There's a lot of men he could left to be entrusted with his mother, but he chose John. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, isn't that amazing? One of the last thoughts he had was about his mother. I'm glad mother is going to be took care of. Now he turns out of the physical realm and he looks toward the spiritual. And look what he said. Because he was God. God manifested in the Jehovah Witnesses say he was a good man. He's a lot greater than that. He's God. He's God man tonight. The same God said, peace be still. Was the same God that was born in a lowly stable. Therefore, after this, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said these words that I want to preach out of tonight. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Father, we love you this evening. Thank you for the good liberty of the Spirit of God that our hearts feel in this place tonight. Lord, I thank you that I've got a King James Bible that I can read from. Thank you, Lord, that I have eyesight and voice, Lord, to preach tonight. Oh, what a Savior you are. Now I pray you'd reach way down tonight and do something great in this service, like only our good God can do. Help us in the preaching. Oh, God, I pray that you'd bind every demon, every force of hell that's coming against this place tonight. Oh, God, let your word have free liberty and course. I pray you'd help me as you preach here tonight. God, would you preach out of me and use me to be a blessing to your people? I'm a needy preacher, and help me, I pray and cry. For in Jesus' sake, I ask you these things. Amen and amen. Now here Jesus cried these three words that change this world. It is finished. Why did he say that? Now, the same God that spoke everything into existence could have said anything that he wanted to say. This is simply what he said. It is finished. Aren't you glad he didn't say, I'm done? Aren't you glad he didn't say, I'm finished? No! I'm going to tell you, the cross tonight brings hope. It is finished. Matter of fact, he bore his cross. You'll notice serving God, we all have some crosses that's laid on us in our life. He carried his cross. Whatever cross that is tonight, may God, the God of heaven, give me the grace to carry it right. Church, if it's ever been a time in my life that I am reminded I want to finish right tonight. People, they never will remember how you started. But they'll always remember how you finished. And tonight I want to finish right. Jesus said that he carried his cross, and he cried, and he bowed to the canopy of heaven, and he said, it is finished. What's finished, preacher? Well, thank God, the pain of the darling Lamb of God was finished. He never had to suffer no more. You say, why's that? Because, I'm glad he's on the right-hand side of the Father tonight, making intercession for me and you. And I'm glad that our Savior will never have to go through that pain again. I'm glad when he said it's finished and gave up the ghost, his pain was finished. Now he is God. Man, isn't this amazing? This always amazed me. How, Brother Joe, or why? Not so much how, but I guess the question's better, why? Why would God leave his world, come in this world, and get on a cross and go through the things that he went through for me and you, and die for the pains and the sins of this world? It's amazing to me. I sure am glad that his pain was finished. Did you know that the Lord Jesus suffered in a special way for you and I? As the old writer in Isaiah 53, we've alluded to it a little bit this morning. Here the old prophet Isaiah said in verse 5 of Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our impurities, for our sinfulness. He was wounded for that. You say, preacher, that sure was bad they put him on the cross. You better put that finger back to you tonight. Because me and you put him on that cross. And I don't care. The best one's here. This is what the Bible said. He summed it all up. There's none good. No, not one. He was wounded. He was bruised for our iniquities. Isn't that amazing? The God that breathed the breath of life in everyone there that day, as they smacked him and beat him, put him over the whipping post, beat him with the cattail. Isn't that amazing, the bruises that he suffered for me and you? And the Bible said those bruises was for our iniquities. Our iniquities. Those are trespasses. He took the bruises for me and you. I'm glad his pain was finished. The chastisement or the punishment of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. I think we've all had a taste of that. And the Lord, watch this, hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Boy, there was a lot going on that cross that day. For every sin that me and you would ever commit, God took it and laid it upon His Son and put Him on a cross. What a load of sin. Just my sins alone. Looks like they'd have tore Him. Looks like they'd have tore the flesh. The nails would have tore loose and brought Him down off that cross. But honey, aren't you glad we got a Savior that God could put our sin upon? Said He laid everybody in this building, every sin we've ever done, God put it on His Son. There He was bruised and He was chastised. The Bible's amazing of what it says. And He says, they laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep to the shears. So He openeth not His mouth. Verse 10, this is an amazing passage. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. Let me tell you, when you die lost, and there at the great white throne judgment bar of God, when hell has taken you, and hell and death has given up, and right before you're cast in the lake of fire, and you see the precious Lamb of God, you remember this. You didn't have to go where you're going because He died for you. And it's a lot more than any Baptist ever done for us or any Methodist ever done for us or the cause of religion ever done. The Lamb of God took our sin upon Him. It's not in a church, it's in a cross. Thank God when you've been to the cross, you get in the church. The church don't save you. The Savior saves you. I'm glad He's still in the saving business. I'm glad He's got hope for us when everybody else turned their back on it. I remember some of my in-laws told my wife this. She found out that, or they found out that I was a fooling with drugs as a young man, 19 years old. We'd just been married. They found out, this is what they said, send Him back where you got Him. He's a misfit. He's a throwaway. You deserve better. And she did deserve better, but thank God they left the cross out of the equation. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that can do anything to that. Hallelujah. I'm glad that there was a Son of God that took my sin and your sin upon a lonely cross and died for us. Hallelujah. You say, man, you sure do think a lot of Him. Yeah, I'd think a lot of any man give his life for me. Some things in high school you didn't do. One, you never talked to my daddy. Boy, I love my daddy. And anybody that ever talked about my daddy, it was fighting ground. How come? Because my daddy gave nearly everything he had for me. I've seen my daddy give me his last dollar. Man, I remember my daddy told me, I believe so much, Brother Tim, what my daddy said. He said he fought Indians with Daniel Boone. Said he had a slingshot and killed Indians. I went to school, just believed him in the first grade. They made fun of me, and I said, no, not my I said, my daddy walked with Daniel Boone and killed them Indians with a flip. Yeah. He said, why'd you say that? Because daddy told me he did it. But I found out later, daddy lied. But this right here ain't never lied. Oh, you say, well, how come you stand up for Christ so? Because He gave me everything that He had. He gave me His life and He gave me eternal life. And I thank God He took my sin upon the cross. Hallelujah. Everybody else swore to send me back where they got me. But Jesus said, all He needs is come to the cross. Now I'll do things in His life that's never been done. So, He died for us. What more could He do? That ought to, every time this young child, little Maggie, she sung tonight. Amazing grace has saved a wretch like me. Don't ever let that song get old to you, friend. Lord, that's the national anthem of the church tonight. I once was lost. Thank God I'm saying it. I once was lost. But now, I'm found. So tonight, when he cried, "It is finished," I'm glad he'll never have to suffer for sin no more. The pain was finished. Could you imagine every sin that we've ever done? It was put upon him. The pain was finished. Number two, he said, "It's finished." Act like he knowed what he's talking about. I want to say the plan was finished. Thank God that the plan was finished. You see, this was not an accident of where our Lord was hanging. Hebrews chapter number 10 this evening, verse number 1. Hebrews 10 and verse number 1. There the Bible said that the plan was finished. I'm glad God had a plan for me and you. Hebrews 10 verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Now you know what he just said? He said the law was a shadow of things to come. Now, I can take my set of keys, or I can take this bottle of water tonight. And you'll notice that when a light is put upon that, it makes a shadow. See that shadow up on that post? That water bottle makes a shadow, but did you know that shadow right there will not cure my thirst? Did you know that the law could not take away our sins? Did you know that the law cast a shadow, and a shadow cannot do nothing? But honey, I sure am glad that it was telling us about something that was to come. What are you talking about? When we look in the law, we find out just really how ugly we were. The law's for perfect people. Nothing wrong with the law. We're what's wrong with the law. We can't live it. And when I look at that law, it's become my schoolmaster. Paul said, I was a pretty good man. I read the law and it raised up in my heart and showed me how wicked I was. Thank God for grace. I'm glad we're saved by grace through faith tonight. A lot of you say, well, I'd get saved if I could live it. You'll never get saved. I sure am glad he can live it through you tonight. Now in Hebrews 10, verse number 3, but in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. He said every year they made a sacrifice, but it come back the note due. Boy, I'm glad what he's done for me on Calvary never come due again. You can only get saved one time, friend. The Bible said it's not possible that the blood of bulls and the goats should take away sin. That just rolled over year after year. You're in a congregation like this under the old law, you'd have to come to the high priest. You'd bring a sacrifice for your family. That high priest would go in the Holy of Holies for the sin of the people, and he'd make one sacrifice, that yearly sacrifice, to roll your sins over for the next year. The law was a shadow of things to come. But when the cross came, he took the shadow out of the picture. And when he cried, "It is finished," God's plan was finished for humanity to get every one of us to heaven. I sure am glad this didn't have Baptist wrote on it. Just come if you're Baptist, or just Methodist come. Oh, no, no. He died for the sins of the world. Now tonight, this plan was finished. You'll notice in verse number 10, he said, "By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. You listen to me, young people. Don't you never let nobody tell you you've got to confess your sins to a preacher or to a pope. Nobody can forgive you but the Lamb of God tonight. Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering, one time he went to the cross, he satisfied the heart of God. The plan was finished. It was a mentioned plan, but in 1 Peter 1:18, it was the Master's plan. Only God could have thought of this, and I've often wondered why God would love us enough to send His Son for us. But He chose the sending of His Son to satisfy His holiness. In 1 Peter 1 and verse number 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood. Be careful what you do with it because it's precious. The precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained from the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. In other words, in the mind and the heart of God, before this thing ever come into existence, He's seen a cross that He'd send His Son for. You know, God didn't make man and say, well, I've messed up, now I've got to come up with a plan. God knowed everything from the beginning. And He chose Calvary to take care of our sin debt. It's finished, He said. The pain was finished, the plan was finished, but then the passageway was finished. Passageway was finished. Did you ever look in Luke 16 and notice this? That notice where saints and sinners died. There they were in holding until God had done something for them. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which is clothed in purple fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Verse 21. We'll go 22, second time. It came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angel to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And I don't care what any compromising liberal preacher says, this verse is still in your Bible. And in hell, he lift up his eye. In hell, he lift up his eye. Watch this. He wasn't having a party. They wasn't playing poker in hell. They're not drinking, smoking weed in hell. They're in torment in hell. Hell's a bad place. Hell'll spoil your party, friend. Man told me one time at Pepsi Cola, looked at my office, and he said this. He said, if I die and go to hell, preacher, I'll say I've had a good time. I said, you said it right, Tommy. You had a good time. But you remember this, friend, and you remember it well. This preacher in this Bible said it tonight. Sin is for a season. He cried and said, Father, Abraham, have mercy on me, that he may send Lazarus, dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, that in thy lifetime you receivest thy good things. Likewise, Lazarus, evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. So they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they come to us and would come from thence. And he said, I pray thou, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I got five brethren, that he may testify them, lest they also come to this place. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now watch, verse 22. Come to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Here was a place that was divided called Sheol. So you could understand it was a paradise side, and it was a bad side, hell. One side was divided. When you died lost without God, you went to hell. When you died in Christ by faith, you went into Abraham's bosom. And according to this chapter and other parallels of the Gospels, they could look into the paradise side. He looked into to the bosom of Abraham and he said, you know what? He said, I wish that y'all would send somebody down there to Daddy's house and warn my brothers lest they come into this place. He said, well, listen. He said, even though that you'd want to get over there to where they are, there's a gulf fixed and you can't pass out of it. What was they doing? What was going on? Well, now the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When Jesus died, He left here. Remember when the disciples seen Him fish? He said, oh, don't touch me. I've not ascended to my Father. Jesus went and done a heavenly high priest work. Jesus went and He sprinkled the mercy seat with His blood to prepare a way for me and you. Boy, I'm glad He gave His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now watch your Bible in Ephesians. You ever wonder what He's talking about right here on this great passage, Ways Finished? Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, He saith, when He ascended upon high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What are you talking about? Well, now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that ascended above, far above the heavens, that He might fill all things. Now look in 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18. It does you good to study your Bible. It's amazing what you find. 1 Peter 3:18. Watch. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which, here it is, He also went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God were in the days of Noah, while the ark was prepared, when few that His eight souls were saved by water. And that's not baptism neither, friend. What happened on this holding side, on this paradise side, when Jesus died on the cross? I believe with all my heart, in the book of Hebrews, He took His blood and He sprinkled the mercy seat, the Holy of Holies, and He made a way for me and you, and He descended into the hearts of the earth. And there He was in Abraham's bosom, the father of our faith. All the Old Testament saints were there in a holding pattern. And He said, hey, I'm the one. And buddy, when they rose up that day and they stood up and He led captivity captive. He led them back home. Now watch this. Now to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Why? Because He went and He done that heavenly work that only He could do. The blood of bulls and goats would not sprinkle the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies and satisfy a holy God. But boy, when God sees that blood of His Son on an altar, He is reminded. And I'm glad when He sees the blood, He don't see me. He sees His Son. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. There's no purgatory. You die and go to hell in your sin, you can pay every dime you've ever made, and nobody will never pray you out of that place. All right, preacher, what are they doing tonight? What's going on there? All right, let me show you. The book of Revelation, I'm glad the passageway was finished. Watch your Bible. Now turn with us over into the book of the Revelation. And I want to show you about this tonight. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12. I'm going to give you time to get there. Revelation 20 and verse number 12. The rich man that died, this was not a parable. No place will you ever see where Jesus made a parable that called people by name. He called Lazarus by name. This was not a parable. This is a reality. He died without God. And in hell, He lifted His eyes. He's there right where He landed tonight. He's there. Everybody that's ever died without God has went right where He's at in Luke 16. But it don't hold them forever. They're going to a worse place. Isn't that amazing? We've always heard, well, they died and went to hell, and hell will keep you forever. No, it don't. The lake of fire will. Buddy, you're talking about a bad place. Watch this now. In Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 11, I saw a great white throne. You don't find the saints of God around this. We stand at the bema seat, at the judgment seat. This is the great white throne, only where sinners will be. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, there was found no place for them. Probably the saddest verse in the Bible. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Those folks that had fallen overboard from cruise ships. And people say, well, I don't know where they went. God's got a record where they went. Death, watch this, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And here it is. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Preacher, you really believe that? Oh, I believe it so much I preach it. Now watch what happened. Those that died without Christ, they went to hell. They're there tonight. Those that died by faith, looking to the cross, they were looking forward to the cross. They trusted God for what He said. They died in Christ. They went to Abraham's bosom, the father of our faith. Isn't that amazing that the father of our faith was even in that holding place in Sheol? The paradise side is what all of the commentators call it. They call it the bad side, the paradise side. But let me tell you something. You die and go to hell in your sins, a place where this gulf is divided. There is no paradise side in there. Now watch what happened. They died without God. They wouldn't put faith toward the cross. They died and went to hell in their sins. He said he lifted his eyes and he was in torments. He wanted to drink of water. There was no water there. He looked across and he seen Abraham. There's all those Old Testament faiths, saints that believed God. Now when Jesus died on the cross, he went to heaven. He done an eternal work with the Father. He's descended in the heart of the earth and he led all those captives out. Where are they? Oh, they're around the throne of God tonight. 1 Thessalonians 4, they're coming back with him in the clouds. And on that getting up morning, honey, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What are they doing in heaven tonight? They're not hurting. I can't tell you what they're doing, but I can tell you what they ain't doing. I've often wondered, the old man that wanted me to God, Brother Elmer Case, and I wonder what he's doing. I've often wondered, what's he doing in heaven tonight? Many saints of God. Y'all remember Miss Carolyn that was here and Cindy. Wonder what they're doing in heaven tonight. I tell you, I don't know what they're doing in heaven, but I can tell you what they ain't doing. They ain't hurting no more. Little old Miss Dorothy, Brother Mike. She used to make me so mad. She'd get a little car and she'd wheel in and she'd pull right up under the pool under and it'd be a pouring rain. And she thought, man, ain't nobody need this spot but me. I say, Miss Dorothy, all of us need to get on there and use that shed tonight. She just whooped her little car in. She didn't, I mean, boy, I love the way she does. You'd go to her house, she'd get to pray and come. Boy, she's just a blessing. What's Miss Dorothy doing? I don't know, but I can tell you what she ain't doing. She ain't a suffering. She ain't hurting. Now to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now when we die in Christ, we go straight to heaven. Because Jesus made the passageway. Could you imagine all those Old Testament saints of God, Brother Tim? Those were right there with Abraham in Abraham's bosom. Those in hell could look out across and see how nice it was. And all of a sudden somebody come in that's never come. Can you imagine them crossing over hour after? I wonder how many people was in that place. It's unbelievable how many people was there. But they died by faith in Christ. They believed what God told them, seeing things to come. Now, we that are saved in the New Testament church, we don't look forward to the cross. We look back to the cross and see what He's done for us. Boy, that place is uninhabited tonight, been emptied. There they are around the throne of God. No more heartache, no more pain. Can you imagine if some of us had crossed over tonight, those saints of God that we would meet? What about when we see Jesus? A lot of people say, well, He didn't do nothing for me. You wait till judgment day. My God, some of you gonna think you're going to chew Him out for what's happened. I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get at His feet and you're going to crawl like a dog. You say, God, You ought to shot me and put me over in hell. But Your grace, You saved me and I'm here to worship You and adore You. And I bless Your holy name that You love old sinners tonight. Amen. I've heard people say, well, when I see Jesus, I'm going to straighten Him out. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. I asked You tonight, He made a passageway for you. One sacrifice for sin. He'll never have to do it again. It's finished. The pain was finished. The plan was finished. The passageway was finished. Oh, I'm glad He made a way for us. Isn't this amazing? Now watch this. Look in John 10, if you would, tonight. John 10. He said this in verse number 9. John 10. I always remember this. He said, I am the door. There's not another option. If you go into heaven, you go in by the passageway. I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I love that word. It means rescued. Watch this. Shall go in and out and find pasture. Some places that you've been to church, you thought you'd never leave. But God said, all those that come unto Him, you shall go in and out and find pasture. You know what God wants for a sheep? Pasture, water. He wants nourishment for His sheep. And God will lead you in and out of some places just to be sure that you get for your life of what you need. Isn't it amazing? God led you in some places just to reach another part of your family. It's amazing God tonight. It's finished. I'm glad nobody can add to what He's done. The pain is finished. The plan is finished. The passageway is finished. The price was finished. He paid the price. The girl sung tonight. He's done a lot for you. What you doing for Him? He paid the price for you. Is a heavy price. He paid for you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Boy, we talk a lot about our body. We want to get on everybody for smoking and doing the things of the flesh, but what about the spirit? What are you doing in your spirit to honor God? Boy, I want my spirit right. When I walk into His world, I want nothing between me and Him, nor between me and you. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. The price was finished. And then lastly, the promise was finished. Glad God keeps His promises. I just wonder tonight, close, how many people in here has broke a promise? I broke promises to God. Broken to my children, to my wife, to myself. But I'm glad God keeps His promise. In 1 Timothy 2, verse number 4, let me share if you'd come tonight. Get Brother David lead us in a song, Miss Sherry, if y'all would get us a song together. He said, well, preacher, I want to ask you a question. Who would God have to be saved? All men. Never let nobody come and bring you heresy doctrine that says that only Christ died for a few. Don't ever let nobody tell you that He only died for a handful of people. That ain't right, friend. He died for everybody. Any man don't believe that won't preach in this pulpit. There's hope for a sinner if you breathe it. Your neighbors may not think it is, but there is. He said, He'd have all men to be saved, look, come to the knowledge of the truth. He said, I'd love to you to face the truth and come to the knowledge of the truth. That you're a sinner and you're lost without my Son. But I'd save you if you'd come to me through Him. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. To be testified in due time. Now watch this. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He said, my Son's standing there waiting on you, but you're going to have to come and access what He's done on the cross for. Why do you think the Bible says you're saved by grace through faith? And He said He's given every man a measure of faith. Every person in here, He's put a little bit of faith in you. Just enough faith to get saved if you want to be saved. He's given grace for everybody. But the only way you can access this grace is by faith. I wonder tonight, are you tired? Of dreading what you're dreading in eternity? I wonder tonight, the little church in Bowden, Georgia, would you take that eternal step that would settle your eternity for all eternity? As I said this morning, if God is dealing with your heart, I'd come. You know what He's letting you know? That Bible's true and I love you. I love you. I love you. And I don't want you to die in your sin. Did you know there's a church full of people here tonight? There was men in the prayer room prayed for you tonight. Oh, I know how the devil will do. Well, what will they think? What will my wife think? I can tell you, if your wife's right with God, she'll rejoice. What will my husband think? If he's right with God, he'll rejoice. Hey, young people, you may not have tomorrow. But I can tell you this, we've got a promise of this Bible that Jesus saves. Stand with us tonight all over this house. Brother Dave, what's your number?